What's up, everybody? This is Dan from Unschooling with Kai, and I'm, of course, here with...
Kai.
And today we're doing an episode on...
Bees. Oh, we also have our guest, Smalley.
We have Smalley. He's a small stuffed animal.
He's a super small puppy.
And he's going to hang out. You want to say hi, Smalley? All right. So today, it's been a while. It's been many months.
It's been so long.
It's because this research, I've done like...
It's probably going to be like a four-part podcast.
Maybe. I've done like 6 pages, and then we got interested in a bunch of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that's kind of how unschooling goes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We go with the flow.
Yeah, we go with the flow.
But we're back in it. Uh-huh. We have a couple updates. One is that in January, I know it's not January right now, we're past then, we reached 5,000 listens.
Yay!
Hooray!
Beep! Like the party gun or the confetti gun.
Okay. Beep! Yeah.
Beep!
Right. So that's kind of exciting. I guess our next goal now is 10,000, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. We're at 5.2.
5.2.
We're not there, but we're closing in.
We got a ways to go.
We got a ways to go.
All right. A couple updates from last podcast. I think in the immune system podcast, we were talking about allergies, and we were like, hey, what it actually is allergies? Remember we were saying that?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked this up, and allergies is the body attacking harmless environmental substances, fighting them,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas an autoimmune disease,
mm-hmm,
is not the same thing. That's the immune cells attacking tissue, mm-hmm, and possibly even themselves.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right? So that's the difference between allergies and autoimmune disease. And then, why were we talking about, like, predators? Mesopredators? Was this in dinosaurs?
Oh, yeah.
Or is this, like, wolves... Maybe this is related to, like, wolves and wild dogs and wild cats.
Evolution. Stuff, that kind of
all
stuff.
Right. So we saw this really cool Minute Earth video, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like food chain, wolf.
Right.
it was really cool. You should go check it out.
Yeah. Minute Earth on YouTube. Very cool.
We should put a link.
And so it's the video. Yeah, we could link this, right? All right. I'll put a note here. The video is on mesopredators, and basically because humans have gotten rid of most of the apex predators, the ones at the top.
Like lions, wolves, tigers, bears, oh my.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
And even though those aren't like extinct, they are largely extinct in the places where people are, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So in those places, there's still a lot of animals, mm-hmm, but the apex predators
are like mostly gone.
And so what happens is we have mesopredators that are like the new apex predators. And what are examples of like the mesopredators?
Foxes, raccoons, like any like rodent you could think of.
Isn't monkey in there too?
I don't know, like a baboon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So even though
they shouldn't be the top of the food chain, they currently kind of are.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's weird it's not healthy for our environment.
Yeah, uh-huh.
For a couple different reasons.
Otters, I think otters are different.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Another update. Gray wolves, there were protections for gray wolves that were like cut out. They were removed during the Trump administration,
mm-hmm,
and in early February, they were restored. Most of those protections were restored across much of the U.S.
Wait, February this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were restored in February.
Hmm.
And then, last one. Regulatory T cells.
Mm-hmm.
What were we doing? What were we talking about this? Oh, okay, so these are the T cells that recognize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They go through the thymus,
and
the murder university.
The T cells don't, like the T cells that fail, they don't get like eliminated. They just get turned into regulatory T cells.
Yeah, not all of them, I think it's a lot more complicated than what we understand. But apparently 5% of T cells are regulatory T cells,
wow,
right?
Without T cells, you would be dead in a week.
Yeah.
T cells are, like, your body relies on them, like, solely.
So, these regulatory T cells are T cells that recognize themselves or recognize the body tissue, which they shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
And then the thymus is like, hold on, wait a minute.
Hold up, wait a minute.
And then we can actually use these guys. And so what they do is they calm defenses and prevent autoimmunity.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's their role.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. All right, so today we're doing the bees.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of bees. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of stuff. And honestly, I have a lot of stuff written up, so we don't even know what we're getting into.
Yeah,
it's going to be a minute-by-minute decision.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. All right, bees. What are they? Where do we want to start?
We want to start with the sneeze count.
I sneezed.
Off camera.
Off podcast. But we just want to let you know that
one,
that happened.
One.
Right?
One.
All right. So, what are bees? What are they similar to?
What? Ants.
Yeah, they are similar to ants and wasps.
And.
We're gonna say sawflies too.
Sawflies. Yeah. I guess so.
Not to be confused with sausage flies.
Oh, yeah.
So why are they similar? So we know why they're similar to wasps, right?
Yeah.
They have a stinger.
They both pollinate. It's obvious. They both have like yellow and black stripes. It's very obvious. It's very, very obvious.
What about ants? How are they similar to ants?
I don't know.
I know a lot of this.
Did we talk about
Well, they're insects, and what's that mean?
They're both insects.
Well, unlike humans, they don't have two legs.
They have six legs.
Six legs. How many body parts?
Three.
And
they're both, most of them are both, like, social.
Yes. That's what I'm looking for there, man.
Yes.
They're mainly mainly social. Yeah, and I don't even know if that's true, if I can say mainly social.
But
honeybees are definitely social.
Uh-huh.
Wasps
are definitely social.
Yeah, but there's like mud wasps that are
yellow,
it depends.
Yellow jackets.
Some are social and some are solitary, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Most often the solitary bees, mm-hmm. for example, if we're talking about bees, are
carpenter.
Often found in ground holes.
Uh-huh.
So not even the carpenter bees that we know.
Yeah, carpenter bees just live in wood, like our fence post.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, like the carpenter ones, they're mostly solitary, but some of them, some species cohabit with, like, a couple females in the same hole.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Pretty interesting.
So those are bumblebees?
And we love our carpenter bees.
Yeah, they're very cute.
No, those are carpenter bees. What do we know about our carpenter bees, like male versus female?
Males have like a square on their head.
What color?
It's a yellow.
A yellow square.
Like on right above their let's just say nose. If a carpenter bee had a nose, it would be right above.
If you see a carpenter bee, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be male or female. It's buzzing around.
Yeah.
It's aggressive. When is that going to be male or female?
That would be male. Males normally guard while the females, like, tend to the babies inside.
And do the chewing. Right.
Oh, also...
We love our carpenter bees. Yeah. They look scary, but they're adorable and fuzzy
and
they don't hurt you. But the females have a stinger.
Only when they're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, only if they're attacked,
their
stinger.
Like you smush them or you try to smush
right.
them. Oh, also females gather the pollen.
Yeah.
We've seen females like.
I think males do too because they also feed.
Maybe. Yeah, they're like.
All right, so off of carpenter bees, we were talking about how ants and bees are similar. That you said they were social. And what's that mean that they're social, generally?
Like,
so like honeybees, if we're comparing honeybees to ants.
Ants live in a colony.
Mm-hmm.
Bees live in a colony.
They have a leader.
They have a queen.
Right.
They both have like drones or like males.
Mm-hmm.
And
the males don't do any work.
Yeah.
They sit on the couch all day.
Watching TV.
Eating potato chips.
Watching TV.
And drinking the nectar and eating the honey. Right? And then, like, they don't really do individualistic acts. They don't do things for themselves. They do everything for the nest, mm-hmm. or the hive,
yeah.
depending on who we're talking to, right? Or talking about. Yeah, so they're very similar. We can even talk about a little bit more about their intestinal areas. They have the social stomach.
Oh, yeah. They have, yeah, the social stomach. They, like, spit out the honey.
Uh-huh.
The trading.
Yeah, spit out honey, or for ants, spit out.
We've some,
like, dew or liquid,
yeah,
water.
And I've seen pictures of honeybees flying, and they're just, like, jam packed with pollen, just all over
it's,
them.
It's really,
like,
awesome.
On their eyes, on their just everywhere.
Let's just get it out of the way. Bees are adorable.
Bees are adorable.
With their fuzzy butts.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right. Carpenter bees mainly.
Carpenter bees mainly, because they're so big and.
Uh huh.
Cool, yeah, so that's that part. How about eyes? How many eyes do they have?
Five, obviously.
Same with ants, right?
Five.
So they have the two main ones, and what are the three little ones called?
I forget!
Oh, no!
No!
They're called ocelli. I think that's how you pronounce it. Same with ants.
Yeah, yeah, ocelli.
So the two main ones are, like, see well, like, similar to human eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Not the
but
same.
But the three ocelli, what do they do?
We don't have compound eyes.
We don't, right?
They, like, track, like, light, I think.
Yeah, I think
light,
it's, like, light.
And darkness.
Light and, yeah, shade and whatnot.
Light and dark.
Right. The bees have like a tongue that's like a straw.
Oh yeah, it's like a big triangle.
Yeah, it's like a proboscis, but it's not.
No, it is a proboscis.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like a
proboscis, like
it's like a big pointy triangle.
A proboscis. When I think of proboscis, I think of like a mosquito, and it like rolls out. You ever see it like roll out?
Oh, no.
We should see a video of that.
Mosquitoes roll out, I think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Also, butterflies do that. They have
but
that
I think
curl, like...
When we've watched, like, carpenter bees, we've helped carpenter bees in our yard that were, like, tired.
Uh-huh.
There's, like, folds out. There's, like, one... It, like, oh, their mouth parts open up, and it comes out and then extends.
Uh-huh. It's like a mechanic thing. It's like...
Yeah, it's like a crane arm.
Shh.
All right. So we have to look that up. Is it called a proboscis? But my guess is no. But your guess is that it is.
I think so.
Okay.
think it's called a proboscis. I don't know.
All right, we'll answer that in the next section.
Yeah.
So their tongue is hollow.
Mm-hmm.
They breathe using spiracles. So it's like all over their stomach, I think, basically.
Oh.
And I'm saying stomach, but that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
They're what's the body part I'm looking for?
Abdomen.
The abdomen, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the abdomen has little holes that allows
like
air
breathing.
In. Yeah.
Not like breathing from your mouth, like.
But that's
human.
The same with ants. But ants were ants the ones that had like book lungs? No,
that's spiders, bro.
Yeah,
we should do a podcast on spiders.
Oh man. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
And then for bees. Oh, one more thing. They have wings.
Yeah.
Bees have wings. But ants also have wings.
The queens.
The queens and the drones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I wonder... No. I'm not sure. There might be a species of ants that they all have wings or something. But that might just be like the queens or the gametes. Like the mating queens.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right? Gamergate?
Gamergate?
Man. It was so long ago.
Oh my gosh, we should have done a podcast more Ooh. Recently, like,
and then,
like a month earlier or something.
Right? And then they have jagged stingers, bees, generally. And what a jagged stinger means...
Is like when they stick it in, it comes out.
It gets pulled out of the bee that's stinging.
And it like pulls out some of their like stomach.
Yeah,
and then
die.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, which uh-huh. stinks. But there are some bees
which,
that don't.
Which stings.
It stings. It really stings.
It really stings, right?
Yes. Good point.
Like the queen bees. Queen bees can sting multiple times because like sting, sting, sting because they have a smooth stinger.
Perfect.
Not like a barbed.
Yes. Random fact here. What's the most painful, where's the most painful place to be stung?
Nose.
Yeah.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
Is that like a pain level, 8 out of 10?
Yeah, I knew it.
8 out of 10 would not recommend.
I saw a video of somebody like explaining like what's the most painful spot to be stung by a bee. And there's like doc or scientist something whatever his name is, and there's like he rated the nose and it was 8 out of 10.
Oh man. All right. That's pretty good. I wonder if you can get stung on your eyeball. That sounds horrible.
I don't think you can.
Oh, all right. So what do bees do? Just generally, I'm just going to list some things that we'll get in deeper in other sections of this podcast or of this episode or other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They do things like they make honey, right?
That's obvious.
They swarm.
Oh,
they have a queen, right? They have a queen that lays eggs. They pollinate. You know, et cetera. So just to get that stuff out of the way, that's like kind of general bee stuff.
That's the basic stuff.
The basics. What are bee predators?
Bears.
Bears. It's like Winnie the Pooh, mainly.
poo. Like spits the bees out.
We have some insects in there. We have like larger animals.
Brown bears, black bears, honey bears.
I think I have brown bear. That's like a main one. But I wonder if other bears, probably not polar bears, huh?
Oh, honey badger.
Honey badger, yes.
Moths, birds.
Birds.
They're all on there.
Raccoons, opossums, skunks, toads.
Spiders.
Hornets. And then I added one.
Dogs.
Because I know dogs.
The C5 is like a small dog.
Because dogs will just bite at bees, and then they get stung inside their mouth, and their mouth blows up, and there's adorable pictures online. For your viewing pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Another predator is the Asian giant hornet.
Oh, yeah, but, like, Japanese honeybees can, like, swarm and attack, and, like,
yeah.
They can bake, they can cook.
That's how they have to kill it.
They can cook literally from the inside out.
Yeah, so they cook, and I think...
They, like, swarm.
I didn't know this before, but bees can emit body heat by tensing their muscles. Like, if you make a muscle and you just hold it, you're actually still using energy to hold that, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what they do with their wing muscles.
They're like, tense.
They tense it up, and then they make like a bee ball on top of the Asian giant hornet.
Oh, yeah.
And then all that heat will supposedly cook it.
Oh, there's also something else. There's like a queen. Like once a new queen comes in and the other queen doesn't kill the other queen, the older queen like gets swarmed by the workers.
A bee ball.
And then you hear like a scratching sound, and that's like the... Or it's some kind of sound, and that's the queen yelling to, like, stop.
Fight's over! It's a technical knockout. So the Asian giant hornet is actually immune to stings, which is why they have to do the b-ball thing.
B-ball.
You want to play some b-ball?
Basically, it's just wrestling.
And an Asian giant hornet, if it's left unchecked, it can wipe out a nest in a few hours. A whole nest of bees. Yeah. And then one last thing for our intro section. The what are they section.
Mm-hmm.
Some flies look similar to bees.
For safety. Yeah.
And it's not like the flies were like, which outfit am I going to wear today? I'm going to wear the bee outfit. It's evolution, right? Uh-huh. So you can check out our evolution podcast. But basically, there's lots of mutations that happen. And over time, there might have been flies that looked squarish, and that didn't make any sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is random.
Yeah.
Help them with flying. And then there were other flies that were completely red, and then birds could see them easier, so then they didn't live. But then there were other bees that started getting yellow and black stripes.
Some other flies.
And then birds were like, hey.
That's a bee.
Oh, I'm saying flies, right? Yeah. Some flies that had yellow and black stripes, mm-hmm. and then... Birds were like, hey, that does look like a bee, and I've gotten stung before, so let me stay away from that.
Yep.
So those ones have evolved, like, you know, survival of the fittest, mm-hmm. quote unquote.
Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right, so let's look up that proboscis deal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right, Smalley's starting this one off. History of bees.
All right, bees have been around for a while. Do you know how long they've been around?
I saw your paper. Maybe 9,000 years?
9,000 years. That's incorrect.
No. I'm way off.
Yeah.
It's like...
Were they around with dinosaurs or not? I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, they were, I think.
They were.
And how did they, like... Oh, a question just popped up. Like, how did they survive through all that ash and, like, from the meteor? Like, how did they survive through all that ash and dust and clouds and what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to understand that...
It's kind of like conifers. Like, they've been around since dinosaur times.
Uh-huh.
Possibly even longer. I think longer, maybe. And they survived that asteroid.
I don't know. Maybe.
Like, that's crazy. Like, they wiped out... That asteroid wiped out all the dinosaurs and everything and everything and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the conifers still survived. It's crazy.
There's a really cool video I just saw about they found dinosaur remains,
mm-hmm.
and the dinosaur was dated to when the asteroid hit, somewhere around there, mm-hmm. and the dinosaur had a broken leg, mm-hmm. that wasn't, like, bit off.
Mm-hmm. It was by the asteroid?
Well, hold on. No. And the sample includes a lot of, like, the rock, the meteor bits from the asteroid itself. So they were like, we think that this dinosaur was running away when the meteor hit,
mm-hmm.
and there was probably a big, like, tidal wave,
mm-hmm.
that, like, probably broke his leg, and then he died and drowned.
And then today...
I mean, it's a theory, but, like, the fact that they found a dinosaur that was even remotely close, like, still has, like, pieces of the meteor around
and
it.
And then today...
That's pretty intense.
And then today we see it in, like, a forest or, like, a salt flat or something, that just the dinosaur is laying down, like, bones and all.
It was pretty close to where the meteor hit.
Oh, like Chicxulub Crater, somewhere there?
Right.
So maybe in, like, the mountains of Mexico, somewhere around there. Because Chicxulub, I think... I know the asteroid location.
I know it's, like, off the coast of somewhere.
It's off the coast of, like, the Gulf of Mexico.
Is that what
it is? It's, like, Mexico's curve, and then there's a little lip.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, close to Brazil-ish.
It's somewhere around
in there.
There.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so before we get too far off track...
Maybe it's a little... It's further down in Mexico, like, South Mexico. Maybe somewhere.
Maybe.
I don't know.
All right, so bees have been around for 100 to 65 million years ago, and depending on the source, you know, this is what happens with a lot of our research, is one source says, yeah, they've been around, or no, they weren't around at all, and then others are like, oh, 100 million years ago.
So we have to get a rough estimate.
A rough estimate. So they were at least with the last dinosaurs, but the thing is that they weren't, like, going around pollinating flowers, which were, I believe, just popping up at around that time. They were more like predators searching for prey at that point.
Because, like...
Imagine being around when there was, like, huge, like, bees and wasps.
And huge centipedes that stretch, like, 2 meters long.
Oh, my God. You're going to have nightmares tonight.
Yeah.
All right, so then the rest of the history...
Well, you got to think about that a lot, but then you won't get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just, like, normalized myself to it?
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of the history is more about, like, human history with bees and mm-hmm. honey and stuff like that. So 9,000 years ago, which is where you get that 9,000, in China, people made honey into mead. Do you remember what mead was?
Oh, we
kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
Mead is alcohol, and basically it's alcohol made from water and honey that fermented.
Rotten.
Yeah, like natto is fermented soybeans.
Oh, yeah, I love those.
And alcohol is fermented whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Grapes.
And that fermentation is what gives you that alcohol.
That taste.
Which makes you a little drunk,
mm-hmm.
right? So they were making mead from, and people still make mead today. I've never had it.
Meated.
but then, so that was 9,000 years ago that there was basically proof that they found, like, pottery jars.
That's where I got
that
the
had
mead. That's where I got the 9,000 years.
Yeah, that's it, man. that had like some, they could like kind of test and found out that there were like definitely like, I don't know, honey DNA or something like that. Fermented honey.
I want to be a carpenter bee. Don't you?
I guess you gotta try really hard. 4,000 years ago, they also found like samples of mead in Europe. So we think it came from China, though.
Mead. So maybe they got that tradition, like China, like set sail across, like.
Yeah, I mean, there were interactions, right?
Went to Europe or something.
Yeah, and they are Europe and Asia. Eurasia is one continent.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take, like, the Silk Road?
Yeah.
That could have been something, right? 4,000 years ago, the rich Egyptians used honey as a delicacy. And because we know this because they found it in the tombs of, like, pharaohs and whatnot.
Wow.
That were cool. Supposed to be for the afterlife. Yeah.
Wow. Well, honey is a delicacy.
It is delicious.
Yeah, but not, like, sticky in a kether.
Do you like honey?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
What do you put honey on? Or what do you use honey with?
I don't know. I sometimes put it in my oatmeal. That was like maybe a year ago. But I still might do it.
Pancakes every once in a while.
You put honey in there.
Yeah, mom really does too.
Yeah.
And then I love peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
I've seen you eat them a lot. And I'm so I'm allergic to them, so I can't.
You're allergic to peanut butter, that's right. Okay. 3,000 years ago, it's getting closer, right?
This is like 1700s, maybe.
No. That would be like 300. 3,000.
Oh my God.
Is like before zero.
What do you mean before zero?
Because we started whose calendar is that? Maybe this is the.
Kurz Gesagt.
No.
The 12,000.
Oh God, who's that? What's that ruler? The famous ruler from like ancient. Rome,
Greece. Julius Caesar.
I think it's
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad. That's it.
Yay!
Caesar's pizza. They created, or maybe it was. I'm not sure. So one of them created a calendar, the Roman calendar, or the
numerals or whatever.
August. That I'm not. Whatever.
December.
But basically, they started a zero, but it was arbitrary. Do you know what arbitrary means?
What?
It was like random where they picked the zero.
And the zero wasn't even the start of their civilization. They've already been like living.
No, and zero wasn't the start of humans either. Because humans go back like 50,000 years ago.
And
zero was only like 2,000 years ago.
And like.
It's arbitrary. It's just random.
And the Earth started 4.5 billion years ago.
Right. We should have started the calendar then.
Yeah.
Right?
Humans weren't even allowed. Come on. Come on, macrophages, do your work.
So anyway, before zero, 3,000 years ago, that's like, that's one. So before zero, it starts counting up now. In math, we would do like a negative, but in calendar terms, we do,
up.
We'll say like 1,000 BCE, before the Common Era.
Yeah.
Okay.
BCE.
So that's when this was, about 3,000 years ago, ambrosia was used in Greek mythology as a food that gave immortality. What's immortality mean?
Like, you can't die, you can't.
You live forever, right? But ambrosia is the word for bee bread.
Bee bread.
Bee bread.
It's a cute name.
It is a cute name.
Like, bees just, like, sitting back, like, in the coffee shop, like, munching on some bread. Nom, nom, nom.
Little pollen. Little cup of pollen.
Yeah, like.
Pollen macchiato. You know, that's interesting, too, because bees prefer caffeinated nectar.
What do you mean caffeinated? Like?
So it's not like there's, like, coffee, but coffee beans have flowers, and they prefer those. And citrus flowers are slightly caffeinated somehow. And they prefer those over other flowers.
Hmm.
Maybe because it makes them work faster.
Like,
I don't know.
Like, nom, 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 nom.
Over 1,000 years ago, Dumbledore was developed as an old English term for
bees.
Bumblebees.
Dumbledore, like in Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
There's
Dumbledore.
Bumblebore.
Look at that Dumbledore. He's buzzing all around my head.
He stung me.
Couple of things. Honey has been used for thousands of years. We don't know an exact time that they started.
An exact thousand of
years. Yeah. As it's antibacterial, so it's been used in medicine for thousands of years.
Pretty cool, right?
So yeah. Even if you have a cut, mm-hmm. you can technically put honey on it, and that would keep like the bacteria out, or it would kill the bacteria.
Wow, honey is clean.
Yeah.
Even though it comes from nature, which is sometimes not clean.
Right.
Like if you get dirt in your cuts, it's not clean.
It's true. Mayans practiced large-scale beekeeping since...
Mayans?
The Mayans. Mayan civilization.
Where?
Those were basically Central and South American, like Native Americans.
Oh, like Peru, that area,
yes,
that kind of stuff,
yep.
that kind of
You ever
clan.
See the Mayan calendar? It's like a circle, and it's, we thought the world was going to end like 20 years ago or something, and we're like, oh, the Mayan calendar said 2000, the year 2000, the world's over. No.
No.
Anyway, it was
that was 22 years ago because it was 2022.
Good point. Okay.
Or 2022.
So the Mayans have practiced large-scale beekeeping since pre-Columbian times. What would that mean, pre-Columbian times?
Pre-Columbus? Pre-Columbus exactly. landed on America.
Which is when, do you know?
I don't know.
1492.
Wow.
So that's like 500 years ago, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So they were doing beekeeping for at least the last 500 years and possibly farther back, as far back as 4,000 years ago. Right?
Wow.
Our ancestors ate bee larvae. And in fact, some cultures still do today because it's really high in like protein and vitamins.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good for the humans, but not for the bees.
Yeah, and probably also, I wonder how good that tastes.
Probably yuck.
And they're like live too, so they're like might be squirming around in your mouth. Would you do it?
I don't know.
Just once, like, hey, just try this. Would you be able to do it?
Or like if I had to die, or like you were like dying.
You were dying of like hunger.
Or no,
and they were like here.
It was like either like choose to perish in the pit of lava or eat a bee larva. I'll be like, oh, bee larva.
Oh, lava.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would definitely perish in lava.
All right, that wasn't hard. What if I gave you $10? Would you eat it?
I already have a lot of money.
It's not worth it. Okay.
Yeah, but only if it was like my life was on the line. I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, so that, I feel like I would just try it, just to try it.
Why don't you try it? Like, go to, like, a buggery.
Instead
a buggery?
Yeah,
buggery.
Hey, do you have any buggeries around here?
All right. Buggery is on Bug Street.
On your left. In the Middle Ages, so now we're talking, like, 500 years ago, castle defenders threw down beehives on approaching armies.
Oh, yeah, and the beasts were like, attack!
Yeah, I'm imagining like comic-y, like a beehive landing on someone's head, like in Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
And then you try to pull it off, but then like you see like in Winnie the Pooh the Baxton, there was like like the bees like Piglet got stuck in the beehive.
I don't know. Sounds like a good thing.
And then he was like, and then like the bees like were like poking.
They were like
out.
Shooting out. Yeah, they were definitely angry. All right, and then last piece of history I have. Are you ready?
Yeah.
60 years ago, Johannes Relic. I'm not sure if that's pronouncing his name correctly, but this guy from Zimbabwe was attacked by a swarm of bees, and they removed 2,443 stingers from his body.
Wow, that's 2,443 bees lost lives.
That's true,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's like the most that anybody has ever been like stung that has been documented and lived. That's a lot of stings.
Yeah, you have to go to the medic room immediately. It would take like 10 years to like.
My God, imagine taking out 2,000. 2,500 stingers.
That'll be crazy.
Yeah. All right. All right. So this part is called wintering. And basically, I feel like we're skipping some steps, but we will get to everything by the end of these episodes.
By the end of this series.
Yeah. But this is kind of fitting our time here. Wintering. Wintering is what? What's the deal?
It's like you drive a truck around to like, mm-mm. like, oh, no, not that.
That's migratory beekeeping.
Oh.
And it's related because wintering becomes an issue. Wintering is when bees naturally do this mm-hmm. in the winter when it starts getting cold.
Oh yeah, they huddle.
Stop flying around.
They huddle.
They're consuming a lot of honey.
Yeah.
Huh, right.
And then they like.
Who are they huddling around?
The queen, of course. The queen and like the brood and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be like a queen. Just go, everybody, protect me, honey. And then they all like swarm.
All right, it's getting a little hot. Let's air it out.
And then the bees tense their wing muscles and then it makes heat. I said height.
Hey, it makes what?
It makes heat.
Heat, right? Yeah. Okay. I was so lost. No. I thought you were going to say haste. Okay.
Height.
Okay, so to start wintering in fall, and in fact, I think it's like even late summer, drones are kicked out of the hive. Why would they kick drones out?
Because they don't do anything. They just like... hang around. Remember, as we said, they watch TV, eat potato chips,
right? They're lazy. They don't do anything. They don't help. They're just dead weight.
Yeah.
Right? And the problem is, it's not that they don't do anything. They do less than anything. They actually just consume honey.
Yeah.
So in the fall, the bees actually want to store up a bunch of honey. Uh-huh. They want to have a stock.
They don't
like a surplus.
They don't want the drones just like consuming all the honey.
Oh right, and we saw a video of this, right?
Oh yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Oh yeah, it was like we should put a link to that.
Okay. Too. All right, if I can find it again.
Yeah, and it was like there was like smaller bees. The bigger bees are the drones, and the smaller bees are like the honeybees.
Yeah, drones are pretty big.
Drones are
like equivalent to like. Almost the size of like queens, but not like
maybe I don't know what the like
word is, but not pregnant queens.
Maybe like point like two two-thirds of queen size.
Okay.
Maybe somewhere around there.
Sausage flies.
So
these drones, they're huge.
And then you see these smaller like workers just kicking them out.
Which are the females, right?
Yeah, huh? Mm-hmm.
They're like dragging them out.
They're like
of the hive.
Swarming them.
And then the drones are like getting kicked out, they fly away, and then they try to come back in.
The females
are like, oh no, you don't, and then they drag them out again.
And then it keeps going.
He's like, no, but I want honey and it's warm in there.
Yeah.
Go fend for yourself.
you know how to get honey.
Right.
Yeah.
So they kick the drones out. When it starts getting cold, they do that tight ball, and there's another name for it. It's called the winter cluster. The winter cluster, right?
All the bees turn into snow bees, and then they just huddle around.
Snow bees.
Or like fireplace. There's some like the outsides turn into like fireplace bees, and they like heat you up, and like you hear the fire crackling.
So the thing is that they don't just stay in a ball for all of winter. They actually move around and they rotate, and this is how it happens. When it gets colder, they ball up
mm-hmm.
to protect the queen.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts thawing out or gets a little bit warmer, and this might be like a daily thing. This also might be like a weekly thing.
Or might be like if it's approaching spring, they like move a
little bit. They'll loosen up, right?
Uh-huh.
So every time that it gets cold, they ball up. Every time that it gets a little bit warmer, and again, the days happen like this. At night, it's colder, mm-hmm. and during the day, it's warmer.
Uh-huh.
During the days, when it warms up, the bees will loosen up, go get some honey, and then when they form back together, they're like in a different position. So it's not always the same bees on the outside getting cold.
It's sometimes like, yeah.
They can get heated up too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some bees die that way, mm-hmm. right? And we also lose some whole hives that way. Now, the issue with this is how it happens. I'll tell you. I just learned this. It's really cool. the bees will form a ball, and they are at one point in the hive.
It
might be the bottom left front, it or might be the top right back, but that's where they are.
Might be the queen's chamber, might be whatever.
If it's cold and there's like a deep freeze, they're not going to move. And if the deep freeze is extended and there's not enough of honey close by, then they're not going to travel to the other side because there's the possibility that they might freeze. So they stay together as a ball. And then what happens if there's a deep freeze for an extended like amount of days, they might all just die. That's how it happens. So basically, bees are better off if they're well insulated. But that's another an issue is that it can't be, it can't have high humidity. Because then you get like things like fungus growing in there. So insulation without humidity. Right? Like your gloves, your winter gloves had high insulation. They kept you warm, but they also kept a lot of water in there.
Yeah, like sweat and stuff.
Right?
So, yeah. That's
that
like,
didn't work. That would be horrible for bees.
It would be like, it would be like my glove material, but just all over the bees.
Right.
Basically. And they would just be overheating way too hot. And once they took it off, they're like, oh my gosh, so cold. And then put it on again. And I was like, oh my gosh, too hot. And
oh my gosh, we got to clean out these gloves.
God!
It smells.
laundry person.
So bumblebees actually hibernate. Whereas honeybees, they winter or overwinter.
Oh, there's also something. The male carpenter bees like stay in the hive until the next summer.
Oh, really? They like hang out there?
I think so. Like in the carpenter bee hole.
Can I just say that you said bee hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
In the carpenter bee hole.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of this. Childishness. In the U.S., a winter hive can consume up to 44 pounds. That's
45, I think.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I wrote down 44.
Okay. Well, that's a lot.
So that's up to 44 pounds or 20 kilograms of honey.
I maybe can hold 20 pounds, but that's going to be.
I feel like I read. So this is a spoonful of honey is like 12 bees' lifetime worth of honey.
Yeah, wow.
Isn't that crazy? So 44 pounds is like, that's a lot of work.
That's like 5 billion bees.
And that's just in the U.S. where like temperatures are quote unquote mild. But in Canada,
it's like cold.
Where it can get really cold. The bees will consume up to 150 pounds or 68 kilograms of honey in one winter.
Oh my gosh. I wonder what the bees in northern Siberia are feeling right now.
Do they even live there?
If so, they would eat like 100,000 pounds of honey every
year. Yeah, I feel like the max is like, you know, mid-Canada maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe like Tibet in China. Tibetan plateau. It's like a huge plateau, like mountainous ranges, and I don't know.
You think there might be bees up there?
I don't know.
I wonder. All right, so you were talking about what you thought wintering was, migratory beekeeping.
Yeah.
Now, what that means is that you load up bees into a truck. You got a bunch of boxes, a bunch of hives, and you bring them to different farms, like an apple farm or an almond farm, and then the bees go out, you let your bees go, and then they pollinate the plants for the farmers.
Wait, is this the section for...
This is still wintering. I'll get to how it connects. What's good about migratory beekeeping for the beekeepers is what? How do they get paid?
By making honey.
Making honey is one. But also the farmers pay them for pollinating all their like crops. Flowers, all their crops. So they get like two sets of honey.
They get double.
Yeah.
Double trouble.
But the problem is that this can overstress the bees because the bees are used to wintering. But when you do migratory beekeeping, sometimes people do this year round and they travel like down to Florida in the winter, you know?
Yeah.
And then the bees don't have time to like chill.
Yeah.
watch TV on the couch and eat potato chips.
I think my hiccup count is about 11 now.
Oh, we're doing good on the hiccups? Great. Yeah. Is it like the painful hiccups?
No, it's just the normal hiccups.
Okay.
All right. That one was a little painful.
Right after. You were trying to swallow.
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't hiccup water out.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Oh. That actually would have been great for me. It would have been fun to watch.
Right on the phone.
Bro. So giving domesticated bees, and that means not wild bees, bees that we use for honey and whatnot, giving domesticated bees a safe winter break keeps them fit and healthy.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Sound good, right?
And if you keep doing that, you get more money, but it's bad for the bees.
Keep doing the migratory
beekeeping. And your bees are kind of like... Your bees are the pollinators. You get money from them. So it's like your money's kind of going down.
Yeah, it's a risk, right? Mm-hmm. It is like a financial risk. For sure.
A big one.
Yeah. We talked about like flexing their wings and holding them, and that's how they create heat. And they also. Yeah. Oh, okay. So then, in winter hives. Some animals sometimes join the bees.
Oh, yeah, like mice.
Mice do. Shrews and even ants sometimes will just hang out. And the bees are like, yeah, hang out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Just don't
drink our honey.
Yeah. We're more focused on protecting our queen.
Yeah.
Our queenie.
And then here's the final thing about wintering. When wintering is over,
And then the bee like swarms.
What's the first thing a bee does?
I don't know.
It's a really important one.
Uh-huh.
They wait all winter, and then on their first flight out of the hive, they go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being able to, like, hold it uh-huh. until, like, all winter.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's 3 months. And then you, like...
Keep hiccuping. Why? Stop. Bees. Be gods, please.
Yeah, maybe the bee gods are angry at you. He's making us seem bad. All right, so that's...
Because the financial stuff and whatever.
All right, well, that's wintering.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so that was our first episode on bees. I'm Dan, and this is Hiccup Kai.
And... From How to Train Your Dragon, Hiccup.
Oh, Hiccup, right.
Yeah.
But hope you enjoyed that. We definitely are going to have like 3 more episodes on this, on bees maybe.
And maybe like 3 links.
Oh yeah. And then check out the show notes. We're going to have, we'll include a video, 2 videos on, what is it? Mesopredators.
Oh, food chain.
World. Yeah. That's a really good one. Drones getting kicked out of the hive.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also want to say that we play a game on Roblox called Bee Swarm Simulator.
It's so fun.
It's fun. So
first you start off with like a sack and a shovel, and you put like an egg in your hive, and then like it.
You're collecting honey to turn into you're collecting pollen to turn into honey, which isn't actually how it works.
Yeah.
The nectar turns, it gets turned into
but
honey.
But thanks to
Onet. At the game, yeah.
Thanks to Onet for making this game.
In the game, it's a little different, but it's fun.
Yes.
Bee Swarm Simulator.
Bee Swarm Sim.
Bee Swarm Sim. BSS.
Or Bee Sim Swarmulator.
So I guess we can do a link to that as well, right?
And we sometimes say Bee Sim Swarmulator.
Bee Sim Swarmulator.
Like the opposite.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Uh-huh.
And that's our show.
Smalley, say bye.
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 Yay!